morning is from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 15. In that region, there were shepherds living in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all of the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us."
Thank you very much. So as Janice read, what was going on in the world? The people that time were being heavily taxed and faced every prospect of a sharp increase to cover expanding military expenses. The threat of world domination by a cruel, ungodly, power-intoxicated band of men was ever below the threshold of consciousness. Moral deterioration had corrupted the upper levels of society, was rapidly moving into the broad base of the populace. Intense nationalistic feeling was clashing openly with new and sinister forms of imperialism. Conformity was the spirit of the age. Government handouts were being used with increasing lavishness to keep the populations from rising up and throwing out the leaders. Interest rates were spiraling upward in the midst of an inflated economy. External religious observances were considered a political asset, and abnormal emphasis was being placed upon sport and athletic competition. Racial tensions were at a breaking point. And in such a time, amid such a people, a child was born to a migrant couple who had just signed up for a fresh round of taxation and who were soon to become political exiles. And the child was born and was called, among other things, Emmanuel, God with us. All the roads of Scripture lead to Bethlehem. Mary and Joseph had only come from Nazareth, but the ages had been waiting for their arrival. The birth of Jesus had long been on heaven's calendar. The angels looked forward to their appointments. The star announcing his birth had taken form at the beginning of creation. The miracle of a human birth would soon light up the night. From the fragrance of heaven to the stench of a stable, Jesus would come. From the worship of angels to the rejection of an innkeeper, Jesus would come. From the songs of the saints to the braying of donkeys, Jesus would come. From a robe of royalty to wrappings of rags, Jesus would come. From a mansion in heaven to a manger on earth, Jesus would come. Why? Why would he come? Because God so loved the world, you and me, that he sent his only son, so that when we believed in him, we would not see corruption, as Handel so eloquently wrote in the Messiah, but instead be given the gift of eternal life. Jesus was born to die so that we could live. And that's not just for us here in the Western world. It's a message for the whole world. Today we celebrate heaven's gift to all nations. When Jesus came, he was God's brightly wrapped package, personally chosen for every person of every nation of this world. The night that Jesus was born, there was stated proof that the long-awaited Messiah of Israel was not a gift for the Jews alone. Listen again to what Janice read in Luke 2. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for the Jews only." Would bring joy for all people. Today in the city of David, a Savior is born to you. He is Christ the Lord. You will find the babe wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Jesus came for all people in North America, Asia, Indonesia, the Middle East, Africa, Australia, India, nations of the North and the furthest parts of the South. And the message is universal. It's all-inclusive. Hear these words from John 3. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. The story is told on Christmas Eve that the headmaster of a children's home was preparing his Christmas message. The dorm mother knocked on the door and explained that one of her children was upset because he didn't get to go home for Christmas. Following her into the boy's room, the headmaster discovered the troubled boy under his bed. Sitting next to the bed, he tried to converse with him. There was no response. Finally, he dropped on his knees and lifted the bedspread. Tear-stained eyes looked out. Instead of forcibly pulling the boy out, he dropped to the floor, crawled under the bed, and held out his hand. Finally, the boy placed his tiny hand into the hand of the headmaster. The headmaster had his Christmas message. God stooped to the earth and gave us Jesus. In our fear, our loneliness, sin, and pain, he crawled in beside us and held out his hand to all the people of this entire world. The story doesn't finish with Christ being born in a manger. The Lord Jesus Christ, whom we exalt at Christmas, is not just a character in a children's story. He is far more. The first time he came veiled in the form of a child. The next time he comes, he will come unveiled, and it will be abundantly and immediately clear to all the world just who he really is. The first time he came, a star marked his arrival. The next time he comes, the whole heavens will be wrapped up like a scroll, and all the stars will fall out of the sky, and he himself will light it. The first time he came, wise men and shepherds brought him gifts. The next time he comes, he will bring gifts rewarding all who believe in him. The first time he came, only a few attended his arrival, some shepherds and some wise men. The next time he comes, every eye will see him. Yes, the first time he came as a baby, soon he will come a sovereign king and lord. Tomorrow, the sun will gradually cast its morning beam of light on the orbiting, spinning earth until every continent of this world has been greeted by another day of grace. Tomorrow, beginning in the South Pacific, the world will pass its witness of Christ's birth from nation to nation. How will we celebrate his coming? What message does God want us to give to those we know and love this Christmas? What will we give as the message for Christmas? Will it just be of trivial pursuits? It's nice to see you again. What a lovely gift. Aren't the lights pretty? I love your outfit. What a great party. Or will it be the message of the angels? But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be to all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior is born to you. He is Christ the Lord. You will find him, the baby, wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." How will you celebrate his coming? What message message does God want us to give those we know and love this Christmas? I believe what the world needs more than anything this Christmas is hope. Let me conclude with this true story that took place a few years ago in Wisconsin. A little boy and his grandmother came to see Santa at the Mayfair Mall in Wisconsin. The child climbed up on Santa's lap, holding a picture of a little girl. "Who is this?" asked Santa, smiling. "Your friend, your sister?" "Yes, Santa," he replied. "My sister Sarah, who is very sick," he said sadly. Santa glanced over at the grandmother who was waiting nearby and saw her dabbing her eyes with a tissue. "She wanted to come to see you." "Oh, very much, Santa," the child exclaimed. "She misses you," he added softly. Santa tried to be cheerful and encouraged a smile to the boy's face, asking him what he wanted Santa to bring him for Christmas. When they finished their visit, the grandmother came over to help the child off her lap and started to say something to Santa but halted. "What is it?" Santa asked warmly. "Well, I know it's really too much to ask, Santa, but," the old woman began, shooing her grandson over to one of Santa's elves to collect the little gift which Santa gave to all of his young visitors. "The child in the photo, my granddaughter, well, you see, she has leukemia and isn't expected to even make it through the holidays," she said with tear-filled eyes. "Is there any way, Santa, any possible way that you could come and see Sarah? That's all she's asked for Christmas, is to see Santa." Santa blinked and swallowed hard and told the woman to leave information about the girl with the elves as to where Sarah was, and he would see what he could do. Santa thought of little else for the rest of the afternoon. He knew what he had to do. "What if it were my child lying in a hospital dying," he thought from a sinking heart. "This is the least I can do." When Santa finished visiting with all the boys and girls that evening, he retrieved from his helper the name of the hospital where Sarah was staying. He asked Rick, the associate local manager, how to get to the children's hospital. "Why?" Rick asked with a puzzled look on his face. Santa relayed to him the conversation with Sarah's grandmother earlier that day. "Come on," Rick said, "I'll take you there." Rick drove him to the hospital and came inside with Santa. They found out which room Sarah was in. A pale Rick said he would wait out in the hall because he didn't like hospitals. Santa quickly peeked into the room through the half-closed door and saw little Sarah on the bed. The room was full of what appeared to be her family. There was the grandmother and the girl's brother, who he had met earlier that day. A woman, who he guessed was Sarah's mother, stood by the bed, gently brushing Sarah's thin hair off her forehead. And another woman, who he discovered later was Sarah's aunt, sat in a chair near the bed with a weary, sad look on her face. They were talking quietly, and Santa could sense the warmth and closeness of the family and their love and concern for Sarah. Taking a deep breath and forcing a smile on his face, Santa entered the room, bellowing a hearty, "Ho, ho, ho!" "Santa!" shrieked little Sarah weakly as she tried to escape her bed to run to him. Santa rushed to her side and gave her a big, warm hug. A girl that tender age of his own son, 9 years old, gazed up at him with wonder and excitement. Her skin was pale, and a head of hair bore bald patches from the effects of chemotherapy. But all he saw when he looked into that face was a pair of huge blue eyes. His heart melted, and he had to force himself to choke back tears. Through his eyes, although her eyes were riveted on Santa's face, he could hear behind him the sobs of women in the room. He and Sarah began talking. The family crept quietly from the bedside, one by one, squeezing Santa's shoulder or touching his hand, whispering thank you as they gazed sincerely at him with shining eyes. Santa and Sarah talked and talked and talked. And she told him excitingly all the toy she wanted for Christmas, assuring him that she had been a very good girl that year. As their time together dwindled, Santa felt led in the spirit to pray for Sarah and ask for permission from the girl's mother. She nodded in agreement, and the entire family circled around Sarah's bed, holding hands. Santa looked intently at Sarah and asked if she believed in angels. "Oh, yes, Santa, I do," she exclaimed. "Well, I'm going to ask the angels to watch over you," he said. Laying one hand on the girl's head, Santa closed his eyes and prayed. He asked that God touch little Sarah and heal her body from this disease. He asked that the angels minister to her. Watch and keep her. And when he finished praying, still with eyes closed, he started to sing softly. "Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright." The family joined in, and holding hands, smiling at Sarah, and crying tears of hope, tears of joy at that moment, and Sarah was beaming. When the song ended, Santa sat on the side of the bed again and held Sarah's small hand to his own. "Now, Sarah," he said, "you have a job to do, and that is to concentrate on getting well. I want you to be able to play with your friends this summer, and I expect to see you at my house in the mall at this time next year." He knew he was taking a risky proclamation because this girl had cancer. This girl had terminal cancer. And he knew that he was in a unique place, in a unique position, to not give a toy or a doll, but to give the gift of hope. "Yes, Santa," Sarah proclaimed, her eyes bright. He leaned down and kissed her on the forehead and left the room. Out in the hall, the minute Santa's eyes met Rick's, a look passed between them and they wept unashamed. Sarah's mother and grandmother slipped out of the room quickly and rushed to Santa's side to say thank you. "My only child is the same age as Sarah," he explained quietly. "This is the least I can do." They nodded with understanding and hugged him. 1 year later, Santa Mark was back again in Milwaukee for his 6-week seasonal job, which he loved to do. Several weeks went by, and then one day, a child came up and sat on his lap. "Hi, Santa, remember me?" "Of course I do," Santa proclaimed, as he always did, smiling down at her. "After all, the secret of being a good Santa is to always make each child feel as if they are the only child in the world at that moment. You came to see me in the hospital last year." Santa's jaw dropped. Tears immediately sprang to his eyes, and he grabbed the little miracle and held her close to his chest. "Sarah," he exclaimed. He scarcely recognized her, for her hair was long and silky, and her cheeks were rosy, much different from the little girl he had visited just a year before. He looked over and saw Sarah's mother and grandmother in the sidelines, smiling and waving and wiping their eyes. That was the best Christmas gift Santa Mark ever received. He had witnessed and had been blessed to be an instrument in bringing about this miracle of hope. This precious little child was healed, cancer-free, alive and well. He silently looked up to heaven and humbly whispered, "Thank you, Father. 'Tis a very merry Christmas."